You're listening to the Fix My Feet podcast. Solutions for every step in your journey with the nation's leading foot and ankle specialists.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dr. Waters, Dr. Leonard's foot and ankle surgeons. And this is our podcast, Fix My Feet podcast. It's been a couple weeks. We haven't been super consistent lately, but we are awaiting the arrival of Dr. Leonard's new daughter. So that's exciting news. And it could happen.
It's been a complicated series of events. So we're still waiting.
So we're awaiting that. We did just get back, or I just got back from the annual scientific conference for the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons, where we were lucky enough to have some of our recent research put on a poster display there for ankle replacement with a total talus. I think we're one of just a couple practices in the whole state of Nebraska and probably the whole surrounding area that has done any work with total taluses. So that was a good experience as well. So, and I think, were you here when we did that case, or was that before you got here?
I was here. I think it was right before I got here.
I think so too.
It was like June, July or something summertime. Yeah.
So he's doing well, and we'll probably do some more about that later. But today we're doing a high yield topic, very common deformity called hammer toes. And I think patients have a lot of questions. Like, I mean, I get patients, I walk in the room, they're like, "Doc, do I have a hammer toe?" You know, so it's a super common deformity, very high yield, lots of people walking around with it. So as best you can describe, Dr. Leonard's, for those listening in, how would somebody know if they have a hammer toe or not?
Most of the time people come in, they ask about it, you know, it's the curling of the toes down towards the ground. There's a lot of different causes, which I'm sure we'll go through. There are variations of the hammer toe. So not all kind of curling and contracture of the toes is a hammer toe necessarily. There's different structural deformities you can have, like a claw toe or a mallet toe, generally treated similarly, but can be caused by different things and can have different kind of functional issues for the patient. But usually patients notice that either the top of the toe is rubbing on a shoe, kind of right at one of those smaller joints, or the tip of the toe is rubbing into the end of the shoe or on the bottom of the shoe. And that's usually the most common thing I get, where they notice there's a little abrasion there, or they have some pain if they've been walking a lot and just want to know what's going on, why the toe is contracted and why they're getting this rubbing pain.
Yeah. 100% correct. And, you know, typically this is caused, you know, by imbalance of the tendons. You know, tendons attach muscle to bones is what's going on. So when we're dealing with these little toes, there's, you know, three joints that we're dealing with here. And then you've got these big, strong muscles that are in the back of your leg and that are attached to these tiny little bones in your toes from tendons on the top and the bottom. And so when those tendons, usually it's the ones on the bottom, get stronger or more advantage position, then it pulls that toe into that contracted position. So that's kind of from what causes this standpoint. But what causes those tendons to do that? Most commonly, it's the mechanics of the foot, the way you're walking over a long period of time. And once the toe kind of gets in that position, you know, it stays contracted, and then we go from what we call flexible contracture to rigid contracture, where we can't get the toe out of that contracted position anymore. And so, but it's all about the balance of those couple tendons, and that's what we're dealing with when we look at these deformities. So, your thoughts, Dr. Leonard, on maybe some preventative measures for patients, things, you know, if somebody's listening, like, well, I might have the start of that, but I don't really know, some things they could do maybe to address some of those mechanics in an early stage for hammer toe deformities.
And it seems like, you know, just going back to your point, the most common one I see is where the toes start to contract down to help grip the floor and stabilize the foot a little bit with patients who have a more flat foot or more unstable foot. So one of the best ways to help prevent that portion of it is definitely a supportive shoe and an orthotic in the shoe. That's going to help support the foot, decrease the amount that there's collapse, decrease the need for those tendons to fire and try and grip the floor and stabilize that unstable foot. And so that can help prevent, you know, the hammer toes from developing or from progressing quite as quickly. The other things are obviously just flexibility, range of motion. That includes, you know, the calves and the intrinsic muscles of the foot. Other things are make sure you've got wide enough shoes so that you're not rubbing in the shoes, the tops, the sides, the bottoms. That's going to help relieve the pain. You know, there's padding. There's things that you can do in order to decrease the pressure points. And there's all sorts of splints and a million different things on Amazon and in the office to help try and control that motion of the toes. But I'd say the most important thing off the bat is just work on support and flexibility and strength of that extremity. Because like Dr. Waters mentioned, there's some strong muscles attached to some pretty small bones. And so if you have imbalance, you know, in the front of the leg or back of the leg, that can really show itself in terms of the small deformities in the toes.
Yeah, I think that all those points are well said. I think one common thing is, you know, when patients are buying shoes, buying too small of a shoe, as you mentioned, like something really tight, that can really hasten the formation of not just hammer toe deformities, but bunion deformities, other types of deformities as well. So make sure you have a well-fitting shoe, I think is critical. You know, it's long enough. You're not right up against the end of the shoe. It's wide enough. It's deep enough where you're not crowding the front part of that foot. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely the case as well, along with everything else you just mentioned with stretching and proper support and all that kind of stuff. So if you're in that early stage, those are definitely the things that we would recommend that you go out and do, that you reevaluate, those kinds of things. So we talked a little bit about, you know, the pads. You mentioned those briefly, but maybe if you have a hammer toe, if you get contracture, you know, we talked about this a little bit, but what are the most common like symptoms that you're going to have, or where are you going to be developing pain at once you have that hammer toe that could be problematic for you?
It's can be a combination. Kind of mentioned, you know, you either get rubbing on the top of that joint at the end of the toe, or sometimes patients get pain kind of at the bottom of the base of that toe, kind of through the ball of the foot. And that tends to develop more if that toe is kind of buckling up into the air and that it's, you know, putting a lot of pressure through the ball of the foot there. That one's a little bit more common when you have a bunion deformity that can be contributing to the hammer toe and some things like that. But all three of those are options. Sometimes people hurt in all three areas. And so where your pain is and what your deformity looks like kind of changes the game plan in terms of how we're going to support it or try and pad it. There's those gel sleeves that can slide on that can cushion those joints. There's toe spacers if there's something rubbing on another toe. There are pads and splints that can help pull the toe down to the ground a little bit and take some of that stress off the ball of the foot. And sometimes we use them in combination, you know, in order to position the toe in a little bit better way and decrease some of the pain and stress across those joints. So it really just depends on the patient, but all of those are viable options for sure.
Yeah, well said. The other thing that patients might see is callus formation. And so, you know, at all the pressure points that Dr. Leonard's just discussed. So tip of the toe, I get patients who have callus at the tip of the toe. I get patients who have callus over the top knuckle where it hammers. And then also, like Dr. Leonard said, underneath the ball of the foot, we also see calluses there, depending on, well, again, severity of deformity, amount of contracture, you know, pressure. Those things can cause callus formation to develop, which can be quite painful for patients and can lead to some other, you know, complicating factors in some of our patient populations, like our diabetic patients, immunocompromised patients. What would you say, Dr. Leonard, why are hammer toes and deformities like that a little bit more risky in those populations, diabetes, immunocompromised, those kind of patients, as opposed to somebody without those conditions?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of reasons. They generally have one, if not both, of the sequela of, you know, diabetic issues, which is decreased blood flow or vascular disease, and then some level of numbness or neuropathy. And so when you have decreased blood flow to the toes, those are small vessels. They're tiny arteries. It's difficult to get good flow to those toes. And so if you have abrasions or wounds that develop, or if calluses push and create a wound from a pressure point, there's not a lot of soft tissue there to protect the underlying bone and things like that from having bone infection. And so that can happen easily. If the patient can't necessarily feel that there's something wrong and have that feedback mechanism to protect it, and then if the wound remains open for a prolonged period of time and isn't healed appropriately, that can increase the risk as well. So those pressure points are a problem in that patient population for sure.
Yeah. And one thing I'll add that, you know, for patients wondering, is this callus a problem or not? If you've got discoloration within the callus, you know, there's probably a problem there, a deeper problem going on. What we call hemorrhaging underneath the callus, and it shows up as dark discoloration or sometimes blue, brown, black kind of discoloration within the callus. But that usually means that the skin underneath, the healthy skin underneath the callus, has been compromised now. And so we either have a superficial wound or we have a deeper wound, depending on how long the callus has been there. And so that's definitely something that needs to be looked at by a physician to get an adequate evaluation of exactly what the wound is like, and see if we can proceed with wound healing measures to get that closed to prevent risks of infection and bone infection and the things that we've talked about previously on the podcast. So that's definitely a time if you are, or you have family member who you've seen these calluses with discoloration in them, those are things you definitely want to have looked at for sure. So
yep.
We've talked a little bit about some of the things you're going to see symptoms wise. So we talked about, you know, preventative strategies. So I thought we'd touch on, as we wrap things up, you know, how do we repair? I don't know if repair is the right word, or straighten out hammer toe deformities. And there's a few different options. So I thought we kind of go over those. For your standard flexible deformity, Dr. Leonard, you know, the one that walks in the office, you can straighten it easily with pressure within your hand. It's just very flexible. It's straight. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of other deformity. What are, you know, maybe some simple in-office things we can do for a deformity like that?
Well, like we talked about, conservative stuff is, you know, the splinting, bracing, padding, all those types of options are possible. The other options that I generally try and go for flexible things are tendon releases, which can help straighten the toe out. They're fairly quick, minimal recovery time, and obviously you lose, you know, some flexibility in the direction where the tendon is being released, but the trade-off is that you're improving the position of the toe so that you're preventing wound formation and pain, essentially. And so it's not going to affect how you walk really, or balance or anything like that, but it is going to, you know, decrease your chances of having problems with the issue in the future. So flexor tenotomy is a very, very common procedure that we do, because that tends to be the more commonly contracted flexor tendon for the reasons we mentioned earlier, based on, you know, flatter feet and things like that to stabilize the foot on the ground. So that's a great option for flexible hammer toe contracture that doesn't have a ton of other associated deformity and is not locked in a rigid position by the bones.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think that it's a tremendous option, often underutilized. If we get to it early, and like Dr. Leonard said, very minimal recovery. It's usually one little stitch that we put in there. You can walk on those from day one. You're back in your shoes and in 1 to 2 weeks, you know, like, it's very, very simple in the spectrum of hammer toe surgery and hammer toe corrective procedures. You know, when we get into those more rigid deformities, like Dr. Leonard just had alluded to, where the toe is kind of stuck in that contracted and cocked up position, then the procedures are more involved. Those are going to be done in the operating room. It's not something we would do in the office. It's usually still done under local and sedation, meaning you're just, you know, you're in a twilight, you know, we're going to numb up the toe once you're in that twilight. And then it's going to require both bony correction, so resection of bone, as well as balancing of the tendon. So it still may require some releasing of tendons on top and bottom of the toe. like the simple flexor tenotomy that we just discussed. But in addition to that, it's going to require some bony realignment as well. And most typically, I would say either a pin out the tip of the toe to hold it in that corrected position or some kind of device inside of the toe that the patients don't see that's holding that bone in a straight position while the bone heals. So definitely more complicated than something simple in office. But in rigid cases where there's risk of callus and wound and amputation, definitely a procedure that is worth your time and something that I would definitely consider having a discussion with a surgeon about. I guess the question we'll always get about this, Dr. Lennertz, is what's kind of recovery after a procedure like that? Your thoughts about recovery after a hammer toe that requires bone correction?
It's still relatively low in terms of surgery. You're usually in a boot or a post-op shoe afterwards. Generally, you can walk right away. The main issue with surgery in toes is swelling. They just swell a lot. It's the bane of our existence. They never stop swelling. They swell for about a year or longer after surgery because there's just not a lot of great ways to get the fluid out besides having your leg elevated, and that's not feasible for most people to do for 22, 23 hours a day. So it's that's definitely the most common issue I hear is the swelling. Now that does improve over time, but that's a common issue with it. But otherwise, from a weight bearing standpoint, patients are up and around pretty quick. And the other thing with toes is when you have toe correction, a lot of it is for the pain relief and for wound prevention and for infection prevention. And so with these procedures, there's never going to be that normal function of the toe afterwards, just because of you're needing to remove portions of bone or fuse joints or move tendons around and change the pull of the tendons because that's what's causing the problem in the first place. And so sometimes, counseling patients on that change postoperatively is also important so that they have realistic expectations.
Yeah, I think that's very important and well said. The other thing I just wanted to mention as we're wrapping things up, sometimes it's not enough just to fix your hammer toe. There's other deformities affecting the hammer toe, most commonly like a bunion. I think Dr. Lennertz alluded to this earlier today. But if you have a bunion sitting under your second toe, you can't just in isolation straighten the second toe. Otherwise, the bunion is going to cause the second toe to be contracted again in very short order. So there's often times where it's more involved. There's multiple deformities where the bunion needs to be corrected, the second toe needs to be corrected, or there could be other deformities. There could be, I see common toe contraction deformities like metatarsal adductus deformities where the whole front of the foot is kind of like an in-toeing type deformity where you think you might be an in-toeing person, but really it's that the middle part of the foot is slanted towards the inside part of the body. And so you got your metatarsals kind of running in one direction and the toes can get pulled in another direction. So there could be something like that. Rheumatoid arthritis is another condition. If you have rheumatoid, that you might develop significant toe contracture from the arthritis and a lot of time dislocation of those metatarsal phalangeal joints. And so that will require some additional surgery just aside from just isolated hammer toe surgery, which we kind of discussed here today. So those are a couple of things that come right off the top of my mind when thinking about how hammer toes can get a little bit more complicated than just, straightforward hammer toe. Any other thoughts about that, Dr. Lennertz, things that I may have missed or forgotten about other deformities or other conditions that people might be dealing with?
No, that's exactly right. Feet are just that way. People will come in with the hammer toe and you say, well, the bunion's causing the hammer toe, so that's going to be, something we'll maybe need to address. And honestly, your flat foot and your foot collapse is probably leading to your bunion. So it's sometimes, and then there's contracture in the calves. And so it's usually things aren't happening in isolation with the foot. There are things that are contributing to other things, and it's a lot of give and take. So generally we're going to do as minimal as we need to in order to fix your issue, but there can be complicating factors based on other parts of the anatomy that need to be corrected in order to give you a good result so that you don't have a bunch of recurrence and a bunch of issues afterwards. So yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And I think the bit about recurrence is well said. You know, when we deal with toes and toe surgery and toe deformities, recurrence is always something that we think about because, again, we're dealing with these really strong muscles and tendons attached to these really little bones. And, you know, moving one little thing here or there can sometimes create something else that could go on and happen. And so addressing more globally deformities, addressing mechanical issues, orthotics, being sure we're supported well, I think those are all critical and part of the process of helping these patients have good long-term outcomes for the deformities that they have. My final parting shot, and then I'll turn something, if Dr. Leonard says anything, is the most critical population for addressing these hammer toe contractures, as we've discussed before, these are your diabetic patients, your immunocompromised patients. These hammer toe contractures lead to, I would say, in my practice, a fair amount of the toe amputations that I have to do have come from these populations that have hammer toe contracture deformities. And so those are the ones, you know, we need to keep a really close eye on. As we discussed about the callus formation, the tissue breakdown, open wounds lead to bone infection, and then it's a cascade from there. So that's really, you know, although we do deal with plenty of those who don't like the way hammer toes look, and I get that, they're not the most pleasant thing to look at. Those are the real critical patients we're looking at from a critical standpoint that we would really want to make sure those things are addressed. And most of them from a conservative standpoint, just offloading things like that. But occasionally we have to go beyond that. So any other final thoughts about hammer toes, Dr. Leonard?
Yeah, I mean, as surgeons, we generally are reactive, right? We kind of treat things that are already there. Hammer toes are one of those few times where I get a little bit almost prophylactic with it and say, well, you don't have a callus, you don't have pain there, but you have risk factors for wound development and infection. So, you know, a hammer toe procedure, even something simple like a tendon release, is warranted in those instances, in my opinion, in order to help prevent something that has a high likelihood of happening because we see it very frequently. So it's one of those things that sometimes we do treat before there's an issue because it just makes things a little bit easier for everybody involved.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, if we can get to them early, that's the best case scenario. Once we get them late, it becomes a much more difficult scenario for sure. So anyways, I think that's a lot about hammer toes, probably more than any one person can absorb about hammer toes in a very short setting. But the gist is, a very common deformity. We treat it all the time. There's multiple ways for us to address the deformity. So if you have one, you want us to take a look at it, or find your local foot and ankle surgeon, and they can certainly look at that and make sure you get a great opinion about that deformity, because there's lots of good ways to address that now and not deal with some of the complications that come from the hammer toe deformity. So for Dr. Leonard and myself, this is the Fix My Feet podcast. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can always watch us live, us handsome devils live on YouTube if you want to watch us there. Otherwise,
recommended.
much better in the YouTube format than the pure sound format. So we'll look forward to future episodes with you guys. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Fix My Feet podcast. To schedule an appointment with one of our providers, visit www.brfootandankle.com.